God's Word Baptist Church this morning, our Sunday school hour. We're going to go ahead and dismiss our class to head downstairs in a calm and orderly manner. Please don't jump down the stairs and fling yourselves mercilessly, so on and so forth. The rest of us can turn to Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23. We've been talking about perseverance, and when we really start thinking about what perseverance is, and we begin to kind of realize there are important principles that have to be part of perseverance, and those are traits that need to be found in the Christian's life, there is one specific one that I constantly look at and see is necessary to go through some of the difficult things the Lord asks us to go through. There will be times in your life that the Lord is going to ask you to go through something or to do something for Him that is, well, dare I say, probably the most daunting thing you've ever faced. And this morning, I did not talk to Dan at all about what songs he picked. And you picked the songs this morning, right?
Kinda.
Kinda, sorta. It was a conjoined effort. But I didn't talk to anybody about it. But this morning, we're going to be talking about when the nation of Israel came out of the wilderness and went into the land. Here we are singing about dwelling in Beulah land, which was their promise. Here we are talking about, facing giants and that mountain, if you will, that one that is referenced to Caleb over there, who is one of the 12 spies that was allowed to come back because he had truly had faith in God, that God would do what God would said He would do. And it's important to understand that, because when you look at Caleb's life, the guy, when he went to go claim his land, dude was 80 years old. Here I am at 51 struggling just, to pick up a box of, whatever. Here he is, and he's ready to fight. And the same with Joshua. And when I think about this character trait that Joshua typically exemplifies, it is one that when you start looking at it, the Lord's going to show you it's probably not the way you honestly thought it was going to look like with Joshua. Now, when we think about who he is and what he did, leading the nation of Israel from the wilderness into the promised land, because Moses, he was out of it. He was gone. The Lord had, removed him at this point from the leadership. He was dead. That's it. And here's the new leader, Joshua, coming in, obviously a lot younger than the 120-year-old Moses, but still somewhat aged, because he just spent 40 years in the wilderness. And he had been a young man previously, and he was charged with certain things. He was, as it was referred to in Scripture, Moses' minister. So we know that he was probably at least somewhere around that 30-year-old mark. And here he is coming into the promised land. He's probably right around the same age as Caleb. He's like 70 or 80 years old. And here he is being met by the Lord at one point, being told that nobody's going to be able to stand against him, that here he is going to be this, if you will, this mighty army leader. Because this was the time that Israel needed to fight for what God had promised them. Fight for that blessing. And I want to make sure that we understand that. Sometimes you got to fight for those things that God gives you. Now, God gives us stuff very freely, and I totally understand that. But at the same time, there's things that God gives us and says, that's yours, but you're going to have to put some effort into this. You are going to have to do something. Those promises that we have in Scripture, many of them are conditional. Some of the stuff that we see with Israel was non-conditional. Some of it we see was conditional. But when we look at our lives, we realize there's certain things that we're going to have to go through, and there's certain things that we're going to have to do to get to that point. You know, look, you know, I'll give you an example. A marriage is not going to be all, you know, butterflies and fairy tales and unicorns and rainbows and whatever else, right? You got to fight for it. Because if you want a marriage that is pleasing and honoring to God, you've got to do some things. Our Christian life. If we want the blessings of peace and joy and those things that we see from the fruit of the Spirit, you know what? You have got to put on the armor of God and stand against those wiles of the devil. Why? Because he doesn't want you to have joy. He doesn't want you to have peace. He doesn't want you showing love to people. He hates that stuff. Why? Because it all speaks of the majesty and glory of God. So when we look at Joshua, and in Joshua chapter 23, here he is with this charge that we kind of all know that Joshua gave to the nation of Israel. Here he is kind of at the end of his ministry. There's some peace in the land. There's still some things that they still have to get, you know, some nations and peoples that they have to get out of the land because they've polluted it and corrupted it, and God is judging them because of their sin. And that's what a lot of people need to realize that when we, you know, they're like, oh, God's a God of genocide. No, he's not. You know how many chances he gave them probably? No, it's not documented in Scripture. But I guarantee you, they knew who the Lord was. Because when they showed up to Jericho over there, what did Rahab say? She said, we lost all our courage when we heard it was you. Because we know who your God is. And we're scared. We're afraid. So when we think about that just for a moment, That's something that is just, I mean, it's terrifying to us. When we realize that God's going to ask us to do some things that are out of our comfort zone. And that terror, that if you will, that fear is there for a reason for us to turn to the Lord and seek him in those things. This is what Joshua had to do. This is what he's telling the nation of Israel to do. In Joshua chapter 23 here, and he says in verse 6, he says, be ye therefore very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside from therefrom to the right hand or to the left. What is he saying here? He's saying, don't do what everyone else did, which is turn away from the Word of God. He's saying, you need to make sure you never turn away from those things. And here they had, at that point in time, part of the Bible already written down that Moses had been commissioned to write. He pens those down or chisels them down or however you want to, envision that. But they're written down at this point in time. They're given to the nation of Israel by Moses, through Moses. And what happens here very specifically is Joshua says, look, you have got to have some courage to keep it. Because you know what? It's just not going to happen. Again, you know, those things don't occur. There is no magic Jesus pill for us to take, and then all of a sudden, next day, you know, we wake up and everything is fixed. It's not like that. It takes time. It takes effort. It is going to be a fight. And here he is saying, look, you know, you're still going to have to fight some of these people that are still here. You got most of the land. Don't stop now. Keep going. You're almost there. And what does he tell them? He says, be therefore very courageous. And this is something that we need to understand, that courage is necessary for us to persevere in this life. And Joshua exemplifies that courage. Now, here's the interesting thing. When we think about Joshua and we think about who he is, there's a lot of stuff that probably comes to mind. And we probably think about Joshua chapter 1 and think about some other things. But I want to start a little bit earlier in his life. Go over to the book of Exodus. Go over to Exodus, and Exodus chapter 17. And here's where Joshua shows up. And Joshua shows up as the head of the army. He's the one that is commissioned with the task of going out there and gathering troops and gathering men to fight and getting ready to send them into combat. And we find that they're coming up against Amalek, and they've got to defeat them. And there's a lot of stuff that went on with that battle. And, you know, there's the whole thing with Aaron and Hur holding up Moses' hand. And as long as his hands were up, then, you know, obviously Israel would prevail. If his hands started going down, then Amalek would prevail. But in the end of all of it, Israel prevailed because of the mighty hand of God. And what do we see here? That something that is told of Moses to do. And in, if you will, jump over here to verse 14 of the chapter. And it says, and the Lord said unto Moses. This is unto Moses. And we see that in the previous verse, Joshua had, as it says, they're discomfited Amalek and his people. And what do we wind up seeing here in verse 14? It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. And rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Now, there's a lot that's in that verse, but I want you to understand one thing that he specifically told Moses to do. Rehearse it. What is it you do when you're getting ready to say, maybe preach a message, give a speech, do a play, sing a song? What do you have to do? Practice it, right? And we call that rehearsing. And that rehearsing is the continual repetition to make sure that it's done right. So here is Moses constantly, if you will, rehearsing it in the ears of Joshua. Now, again, this isn't something that he, I mean, obviously he wrote down, but he didn't just hand Joshua and say, read this. You know what Moses did? Moses would sit down, and you know what he would say to Joshua? Hey, Joshua, remember when we beat Amalek? Because of what God did. Joshua, yeah, that was a hairy battle, yeah. And he goes, yeah, isn't it great what the Lord did? You know, a couple weeks later, hey, Joshua. You know, they're sitting down there, kind of sunning themselves outside the tent in the wilderness, talking about the people. He says, hey, Joshua, you remember what the Lord did with Amalek? Joshua's, yeah, I remember. Now, why is it he had to have that rehearsed? Why is it that Joshua needed to hear that? Because, you know, Joshua wasn't the most courageous guy in the Bible. You're like, well, how do you know that? Take a look at the profile. Go over let's start here. Go over to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. And I want you to see something here. But let's talk about courage for a moment, what that means, the definition of it. You know, a lot of people have all sorts of ideas what they think, words mean. And in this day and age, I mean, good grief, you know, the words change meaning, you know, left and right. And honestly, let's just be truthful with all that. That's the tool of the devil. So that we can't understand what God wrote. you know, while the Lord went down and confounded, and just to make sure we understand this, confounding and confusing are two different things. And when he confounded the languages, there was a purpose behind it. But when the devil confuses languages, it's meant as an attack against God. And he's done that very effectively today. And it's not just because of new, you know, terms or, you know, slang that's out there. I'm not going that direction. I'm talking about just the way that the English language has degraded over the course of time. And by the way, if you talk to any linguist, it's not just the English language. It's every major language out there. They are all being destroyed because that's how the devil operates. He takes something God has made and he just whittles away at it piece by piece by piece to destroy it. And when we see what courage means, if you want a meaning, sometimes we can use the word as a synonym, valor, for it. But what really it means is it's a quality of the mind which enables one to meet danger or trouble without fear. So it's the way you think. Now let's be honest. When we talk about the mind from a spiritual perspective, we are talking about the heart. And you know what? The English language understands that. Because where this word originated from, its Latin roots, its French roots, all of these roots that it comes from, the meaning behind that word courage, when you break it down through all the etymology, it talks about the heart. It is often used as a synonym in those languages, Old French, Latin, for the word heart. It's a heart issue. It's a heart attitude that affects how we think and what we do and how we face the problems that we're going through. Those are the things that we need to understand. Those are the trials that we're going to go through. How are we going to face them? Are we going to just give up when they come, or are we going to persevere through them? What do we find that God says with Joshua here? Joshua, you're going to have to persevere. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 38. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 38, and it says here that as you know, the Lord is talking to Moses, gives him some instructions, and he's relaying all of these things again to the nation of Israel. He makes note of it, and he's saying, look, I'm not going to go into the land with you, but somebody is. Lord's given you a leader. I'm not just going to leave you shepherdless. Because I'll tell you this, sheep don't lead sheep very well. God never intended sheep to lead sheep. You know what sheep to lead sheep is? It's called democracy. And it kind of ends horribly. As the adage goes, it ends in anarchy, and I understand who said that, but you know, and people are always just like, oh, you know, our country is a democracy, and that's not a democracy, it's a republic, let's get it right. That's the way it was founded, that's the way it's intended to be, we shouldn't be pulled the other direction. Because look, democracy is essentially mob rule, and that gets dangerous very quickly. Why? Because we need leaders. God instituted that from the very beginning. Right out of the garden, we need to be led. He makes it very clear. But here in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 38, he says, but Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, shall go in hither, or thither, what does it say? Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. You know what he tells him? Encourage him. You know what encouragement is? Encouragement is coming alongside somebody and helping them in that courage element. It's giving them your courage. So you know what that meant? That meant the nation of Israel had to have courage to go in there. Joshua needed encouragement to be the right kind of leader. Why? Because we can get discouraged very quickly. And the devil has a great amount of tools to discourage you. I mean, everything from, you know, here you are to getting a flat tire, to having a bad day at work, to having, you know, a major catastrophe in your life. All those things are meant to discourage you. And to discourage you pulls you away from the Lord. Because in order to face those trials and face the danger and face those troubles that we're going to have in this life, you need Christ. You have to have him. If you don't have Christ, if you do not have the Lord, guess what? You aren't going to face anything. You're going to be mowed down. You'll become the casualty. To persevere requires this. Here it is in Deuteronomy 1, getting ready to go in the land. You know they're going to go through some real hard times. They're going to go through some troubles. They're going to go through some achings in their life, where people go through and do stuff that affects other people. All those things. You know how discouraging that would be? You know, go into the Jericho and just, I mean, bam, right out of the gate. First, you know, here they are, first victory in the land. It's like, yeah, oh, this is going to be easy. Come to Ai, and it's like, what happened? Well, that's what sin does. Spreads like a cancer. Good men died because of it. And Achan and his entire family paid the price. Because they were all complicit. So when we think about this and we realize what's going on here, and what he tells us is we realize that Joshua needed some encouraging. You know what he needed? He needed that constant affirmation. You know, some people need that. Some people you can just tell them once and they get it. We praise God for those people. But you know what? Most of us aren't made that way. You know what we need? We need to constantly be told. How many times did you have to tell your children to clean their room? To eat their green beans. How many times did you have to tell them to do what was right? So much to the point of where as they get older, they just kind of begin to what? Roll their eyes. Oh, here we go again. Well, why is that? Why? Because it needs to be constantly rehearsed in our ears. Even at 51 years old, you know what? I need it constantly rehearsed in my ears. Joshua still needed it at 70, 80 years old, constantly rehearsed in his ears. And you know what he needed? He needed people to come alongside him and encourage him. And say, hey, Joshua, this is the right thing to do. Hey, Joshua, the Lord's got this. Hey, Joshua, you remember Amalek over there? Remember what God did? God's got this. God's going to take care of it. God's going to get us through this. And we realize this as we start going through and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 3, you know, the next couple chapters over here. Deuteronomy chapter chapter 3. And these things that, as you back up to verse 21, you know, he's talking about the charge that he has and basically saying, don't fear them. You know, God's going to fight for you. In verse, as we get down here to verse 28, he says, this is something that needs to happen. He says, but charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him. For he shall go over before this people and shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. He says very specifically, this is Joshua's job. But you know what? He's going to need some help. And it's not going to necessarily be the way that other people think it's going to be. It's to encourage him to be that leader. To encourage him in those fights. Because I will tell you this. When you're in that situation and you realize that you're sending men to possibly their death, that changes everything, doesn't it? I mean, you know, look, in our armed forces, you got guys that got to, you know, they're the grunts, right? They're the infantry. You know, there they are, the 11 Bravos, you know, cannon fodder. And what happens? There's somebody that's over them that realizes that they're sending men on a mission where they may not return home to their families. And that became a reality for Joshua after the second battle. And what we see here is we see that the Lord keeps telling, hey, you know, look, from Moses to the people, encourage him. Encourage him. So here we are, you know, right out of the gate, we see three things, you know, with this rehearsing for the purpose of encouragement. And twice now we're seeing, again, saying, hey, encourage him. Jump over to Deuteronomy chapter 31. You know, after he goes through and Moses goes through all the law again and says, okay, guys, you know, let's rehearse it in your ears. Oh, and let's add a few things, by the way, because we learned some things in the wilderness, right? And here we are in Deuteronomy chapter 31. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, and he says this is Moses again speaking to Israel that we see in verse 1. In verse 6, here he is, and he says, be strong and of a good courage, fear not, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And what is he again here? He's again saying to them, Israel, look, you guys need courage too. You guys need courage. And why is it that you need courage? Because you've got to encourage Joshua. And here he is in verse 7, pulling Joshua aside, and Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, be strong therefore and of a good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. You know what we see there? We see Joshua again being encouraged. Again being encouraged. You know, look, growing up, I always had this view of Joshua. Is just this, he was a warrior. And I always kind of viewed him as this younger guy. Until you start reading scripture and realize, oh man, he's up there. he's well aged. But you know what that means? Just because you're aged doesn't mean God's done with you. You know what? You keep serving God till you can no longer serve God. And when can you no longer serve God? When your body no longer is here. Well, I guess I should say your soul is no longer here. Your body's still here. It's just in a box. But you know what we see here? He says, be of a good courage. Now, I want you to understand, because there's courage that's not the right kind of courage. You ever see courage because of alcohol? Yeah, that's an appropriate term for it. It is stupidity. Because all of a sudden, you know, here, what do they call alcohol? Liquid what? Liquid courage. And what do? They go out there and they do dumb stuff. Right. And you just sit there and you go, oh my word. And you see it. I mean, you know, it's over and over and over and over again. I mean, they even have, you know, memes about it of like, here, hold my beer.
Right. Yeah.
Right? I mean, this is how the world views it. That's how they view their courage. And what do? You know, there they are, and they drink that alcohol, and then they're going to go and do whatever it is they're going to go do. Try to impress the girl. Try to, you know, do something with a vehicle that defies the laws of physics. Whatever it is, right? But you know what we begin to realize? We begin to realize that the Lord is the best type of courage. He is good courage, not that other kind of courage. Because look, you know, that liquid courage gets you into what? Big trouble. Gets you into fights that you may not win. The Bible talks about it, where the guy wakes up with what? Wounds without cause. I mean, you know, he talks about it, and then he goes and seeks it again. And it's like, come on. But you know what we look at when we see Scripture? We see God giving the right kind of encouragement. The encouragement to do what is right. To walk in the paths of righteousness. And here he is, he's telling Joshua this. And I used to think Joshua was just this, I mean, man, he was just this guy that was like, yeah. But the more I look at this, and it's like, okay, here we are now, you know, in Deuteronomy, 31, being basically told, hey, you got to be a good courage. How many times does he need to be told this? As many times as necessary. Because you know what? He's not even done. Take a look at verse 23. Going down to verse 23 of Deuteronomy 31. And after Moses writes this song in verse 22 and verse 23, and he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. You know what? Joshua was one of those guys that needed to constantly hear it. He needed to constantly hear it. Again, some people continue, you know, you just show them once, and man, they get it. And then they just excel at it. And then you look at them and you go, it took me forever to learn that. Well, it took a long time for Joshua to learn this. And he had to be constantly told. You know what that means? That if you're going to persevere through something, you got to make sure that you're constantly listening for God to tell you where to get that courage from. How to be encouraged. And we as believers need to make sure that we are encouraging one another, not discouraging one another. We see very clearly that the Lord has this idea and concept of what it means to persevere and have this courage. And look, so here we are. Moses is telling Joshua, be a good courage. And the people are coming alongside saying, look, you know, we're going to have to encourage Joshua. Moses passes away. And here's a little one-on-one time over in Joshua chapter 1. Now it's just God and Joshua. And it says in verse 1, now after the death of Moses, or the servant of God, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, and he goes through all the list, and he has to tell him that Moses is dead, because nobody saw Moses die. He just went up the mount, and everybody's like, what's going on? And then the devil and Michael the archangel fight over the body. Weird, but okay. We'll just move on from that, right? But what do we find that he and look, this first part, you know, we often talk about, well, this is Joshua telling Israel. No, this is God telling Joshua. This is God telling Joshua. And what does he say here? Is he, you know, obviously he says in verse 5, no man's going to be able to stand before him. But in verse 6, he says this. He says, be strong and of a good courage. Well, what's the Lord doing? The Lord is repeating what he told Moses to tell Joshua. That Moses told the people to tell Joshua. Joshua needed encouragement. Now look, I'm not going to go out there and say that he was, you know, some sort of coward or anything like that. I'm not going to say that. Because he's obviously going out there doing stuff that you or I have never done. And let's just be honest. Combat back then was a little more brutal than it is today. I mean, now we just send a drone to do our dirty work. Yeah, this was face to face, and you felt the sword go in. You felt that pressure of another person pushing on you, trying to kill you with their bare hands. That was brutal combat. Hand-to-hand combat is no laughing matter. It's intense. And here he is telling Joshua this, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. He says, look, Joshua, be of good courage. I'm here for you. I'm going to lead you through this. I'm going to get you through this. And look, you know what? I'm sorry, but at some point in time, you begin to go, man, Joshua must really needed a lot of encouragement, because look at the next verse in verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. How many times does he have to tell him? Wow. I don't know if Joshua got discouraged easily. Because I know this, when you see the brutality of combat, sometimes you get discouraged. When you see the brutality of troubles in your life, you get discouraged. When you see the brutality of troubles in other people's lives, you get discouraged. And I'll tell you this, leaders get discouraged. It is a constant attack for them. It does not end, ever. It's something that is just a constant weight upon them. As I've always said, Monday is the day that most pastors quit. And then by the end of the evening, they go back and they accept it again. You know, they write their resignation, type it out, and then dump it into the recycle bin. I'm not saying I've done that, but, you know, I'm just saying, you know, Monday rolls around and guess what happens? You start playing a lot of stuff over in your mind, and that's the devil working. And you know what you have to do? You got to bring those thoughts into captivity and say, nope, nope. I don't care what went on Sunday. As long as I did what I needed to do to glorify the Lord, I'm going to go with that. That's it. That's it. He tells them, here again, be strong and very courageous. But wait, there's more. Verse 9, have I not commanded thee, asks the question. Be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. This is after he tells them, look, the only way you're going to have success, Joshua, is if you're in my book. The only way you're going to ever get courage is if you're in this book. The only way you're ever going to get through the trials in this life is if you're in this book. Because Smiley Joel Olstein isn't going to get you through it. How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies book isn't going to get you through it. The Power of Positive Thinking by, what was that guy's name, Peel? That's not going to get you through it either. But realizing what the Lord has done, that will. You know why God had Moses write down as a memorial what happened with Amalek? Because at some point in time, God knows Moses was going to die. And Joshua would turn to that book, Exodus, and he would read it. And you would see what God did. And just like Moses' voice, it was actually God's voice saying what? Be strong and of a good courage. You'll get through this. One battle at a time. One battle at a time. And it's just amazing to sit there and think about all of this. And then here's Joshua. And I want you to see this in the same chapter as we go down here a little bit further. And after all of this happens, here comes in verse 12, the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and they come and they want to remind Joshua of some things. You know, praise God for the sheep. They're always great for reminders. And they come alongside, and what do they tell him? Hey, you remember some stuff that we're going to go do? This is what, you know, we kind of said we were going to do. This is the stuff that's going to happen. And I want you to see this here, what they tell him. They said, even though we're not going to go into that land, we're still going to take some of this land over here. We're still going to fight with you guys. We aren't just going to take our land and then just sit back and watch you guys fight. No, we're going to fight. And then when it's all done, we'll get our stuff. And what do we find here? And he says this in verse 16. And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. That's a good soldier. You know, that's a good servant. That's a good person that comes alongside and supports. And here, that's exactly what they're doing. In verse 17, according as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses. And he says, they said, as long as the Lord's with you, we're with you, Joshua. Just like Paul said, as long as I'm a follower of Christ, follow me. There was that physical leadership that they needed to see. There was that again, the encouragement that they needed to see. And I want you to see what they say next in verse 18. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Now there is a supportive guy.
Yeah.
whatever you say, Joshua, we'll do it. And if the guy over there says he's not going to do it, we'll take care of him. There's a lot of land in the wilderness that we can find places to dump the body. There's a lot of caves that we threw some people in. We know how to handle this. We'll take care of this for you. Man, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and Manasseh, man, something about those guys. They just had that tenacity to do those things. And just to see that, it's kind of amazing to see it. But I want you to see that last part, what they tell them. And here they are coming along and doing exactly what God told them to do. Only be thou strong and of a good courage. They'll tell Joshua, we got your back. We're going to help you. Lord's got this. As long as you follow the Lord, we're with you, Joshua. You know what, Joshua? Be of a good courage. They're encouraging. Now look, I say all of this to say this. That when you're going through it, You need to find the courage. Now look, there's going to be some times where people don't encourage you. David had to go and encourage himself in the Lord when all his men were going to mutiny against him and kill him. And you need to remember that. The way you're going to encourage yourself is you're going to encourage yourself in the Lord. Because look, people are not always reliable. People aren't always going to do the right thing. Don't depend on people. Don't put your confidence in men. What you do is you begin to learn how to go through the scripture and see what the Lord has done in other people's lives, and then sit back and go, man, what has God done in mine? And look, if you can't think of one thing, I'll give you a hint. It's a salvation that you have through Jesus Christ. If you have nothing else in this life, but you have that, that is something to give thanks for. That is something to always, always say. I'll tell you, you know, there's a way to go about praying, and I'm almost done here. There's a way to go about praying, and I always, in my prayer life, the way that I do things is I like to thank God for the stuff that I have. I like to thank Him before I start asking. I just, you know, for me, that's the way I need to do it. And it's important that way. Because I want to make sure that I'm thankful for what I have before I start asking for what I don't. Or what I think I need. Or what I want God to do. Which, you know, it should be His will that I want Him to do. But before I do all of that, it comes down to this. You know what? You should always be thankful for that. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you, Lord, for continuing to forgive me. Thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit teaches me and convicts me and edifies me. Thank you, Lord, for the blessing of your book. Thank you, Lord, that I get to read it. Thank you, Lord, I'm in a country where this book isn't banned yet. Thank you, Lord, for all you've given. And I'll tell you what, being in the book, that's where the success is going to be. That's where the good courage is going to be found. That's what the Lord told Joshua. And that's the reason why he had Moses write it down, to be an encouragement to a man that was going to have to go through some really tough stuff. The only way you're going to persevere in this life is you have the courage that the Lord had. And keep in mind, Joshua is often pictured as a type of Christ. And I tell you, you know, obviously he didn't have to be encouraged quite the way Joshua did, and types only go so far, okay? But you know what? He went to a garden to pray. And many times he looked upon the people and had compassion on them. There was times he wept. There was times he got angry. There was times that you can see in Scripture he gets a little frustrated because of people not doing what they're supposed to. But I'll tell you this, in the end, the Lord, Jesus Christ, faced the biggest trouble and danger known to mankind to bear the sins of the world. You haven't been asked to do that, nor could you. Only He could. be strong and of a very good courage. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this time. And Lord, I pray that as we've looked at Joshua and his life, that Lord, with the difficulties that he faced and the tasks that may have seemed insurmountable, he faced them all by being courageous through your word, by that relationship and the closeness with you. And Lord, even in his death, as they had encouraged him, he encouraged the people to continue forward in taking the land, possessing it, and receiving those blessings that you had given to them. I pray, Lord, we take a lesson from that in our lives, that we would seek courage through you, and we'd seek to encourage others. I thank you again for this time. And these things I ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.